John chapter 3, verse 23 to 35. John chapter 3, verse 23, down through verse number 35, we'll read. The Bible says, and John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. And John was, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Let's pray. Father, please use your word today to instruct us and help us, Lord. Help us to understand this truth today and what this passage of Scripture is about. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Our key verse there will be verse number 30, and we'll make that the title of the message, okay? John chapter 3 and verse 30. Can you read it with me? If you have your Bible open, let's read it good and loud. I'll maybe make you say it a few times. John chapter 3 and verse 30. Let's say it together. He must increase and I must decrease. Let's say it again a bit louder. He must increase and I must decrease. One more time. He must increase and I must decrease. Now, there is no need ever for a spirit of competition, if you will, or pride in the Lord's work. That's wrong. God doesn't want us to have that attitude. We ought to be glad for how God can use us and how God can use others. Be glad for how God can bless us and how God can bless others. For example, if we see something good happen to another person, we shouldn't be upset about that or jealous about that or angry about that. Why is something good happening to them? Or why did they get that? You know, we should never have that spirit. And we'll get into this story here, but this is kind of what was happening in here, that there were some that were, you know, the Bible calls them disciples of John the Baptist, people that had heard him and heard his teaching and so on. And they followed John loyally and devotedly. And now when Jesus comes onto the scene, remember back in John 1 how John said, you know, I'm not even worthy to tie the shoe latchets and so on his feet. I'm not even worthy for him. He is far greater than me. And said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Everything about John the Baptist was to point to Jesus. But some of John's followers, when they see Jesus' ministry beginning and see how crowds of people are now starting to follow Jesus, some of them get a little upset. Wait a minute. Why are all these people following him? And some of those disciples, they were a little bit upset, maybe a little jealous, maybe a little bit perturbed at why there was big crowds of people following Jesus. And John was trying to teach them, well, that's all wrong. That's absolutely all wrong. We ought to be glad for the blessings and good things that God does for others. We ought to be glad for how God might use others. Be glad for opportunities that are given for others and not just maybe be selfish or angry or be negative just because, well, something good happened to somebody else. Again, notice these verses. Let's go back to John chapter 3 And look at the story beginning in verse 23. And John was also baptizing in Aenon near to Salem because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. That's almost like in brackets, if you will. It says, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You see, in John's attitude, there wasn't a hint of jealousy in him whatsoever. He says, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. If something is happening good over there, or something good happens for this person or this man or this lady, or if God is blessing this ministry over here, it's not for me or for you to look and say, well, that doesn't seem right. You know, that's not fair. That's not good. Let me tell you something. We can all be in danger sometimes of wanting to have an attitude creep in where we become jealous, or we become proud, or we become angry, or we become unkind towards others because we see good things happening in their life, and we become jealous. You ever seen it in children even sometimes? You know, something good is done for one child, or something good happens to one child, and the other children may just want to, you know, be a little jealous, or a little upset, or be a little negative. Why? Because something good that happens with another, and just that sin nature in us, wants to kind of maybe be envious or try to diminish it in some way or whatever. And that's what was happening with disciples of John. Look at what it says in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Notice how that makes that expression. Here's Jesus now, and he's baptizing more disciples even than John the Baptist. And he says, well, it wasn't even really me doing it, but my disciples, the apostles, those I call, they were helping to baptize, and bigger crowds of people are now following Jesus. More people are getting baptized over here in Jesus' ministry, in Jesus Baptist Church. Okay, but over here in John Baptist Church, now they got their crowds, but man, not as many people getting baptized as in Jesus Baptist Church over there. You understand the difference? And they get upset. And they're kind of like, that's not right. You know, it's not a matter of who is doing a greater work for God, or who is baptizing more people, or who has a bigger ministry, or who has more money, or a nicer building, or a bigger missions program. We are never to compare ourselves with others. Never. And we have a tendency to do it. We can do it on any level. Here was ministry people doing it. You know, people from John Baptist Church criticizing, why is Jesus Baptist Church growing so much? What's going on over there? Anybody can do it. We can do it in ministry. We can do it between fellow Christians. We can do it between brothers and sisters. We can do it in the family of God. Where maybe we see something good happen to somebody else and you know, we may smile, but inwardly we may be kind of upset. Why did they get that? Or why did God do that for them? Or why, you know, we can want to be angry, or sometimes we can be unkind. We can do all kinds of things when little, you know, envy sets, the green-eyed monster of envy sets in, or jealousy sets in. We can be critical, all kinds of things. And that's what's happening. Look what the Bible says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is really a message that maybe you would feel it's most applicable to your pastor, you know, because of what is being described here. But really it can apply to all of our lives. If you'll think about it from that aspect of not comparing ourselves with others, not being jealous if something good happens to somebody else, not being unkind, you know, to other people. This message really is for all of us, even though the biblical example is really to ministry people, if you will. We're not to compare ourselves with others. Notice what the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12. It says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you, according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth," what does this phrase say? "Let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Those are powerful verses. Because you know what? We can many times want to glory in ourselves. Or boast in and of ourselves. Look at me, or look at what I've done, or look at how good I am, or this or that. And the Bible tells us, he that glorieth, glory in the Lord. We're not to make our boast in ourselves, or not to make our boast at look at who I am, or look at what I've done, or look at how, you know, I may have something, or I may be better than something, at something than somebody else is. We're not to be that way. Listen, God made all of us different. God may come in this situation, and for the ministry example, if God chooses to bless so-and-so's church more than you know, my church or our church, well, that's up to God. Remember what John the Baptist said? They're not going to get the blessing unless it's come from heaven. It's not that they're doing, you know, something sneaky or wrong. Or, you know, if they bless them, it's because God's blessing them from heaven. And we should be glad for them. And we should be thankful for them. He tells us here, if we're going to glory, glory in the Lord. We're not to boast in and of ourselves. It says, for he that commendeth himself, not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. You know what? We can pat ourselves on the back all we want to, but that really doesn't make us any bigger of a person or any better of a person. You know, and in the same way, we can put other people down. But that doesn't make us any bigger or better. You know what? Sometimes we in our nature have tendencies to do. Maybe when we see good things happening to other people, or we see somebody else that's really good at something and we start to compare ourselves, sometimes the tendency is to go and criticize them. Find a way to criticize a brother, criticize a sister, criticize another Christian, criticize someone. And somehow, you know, it must be that we think we'll feel better about ourselves by putting other people down. But it doesn't make us any better. We're not any better or bigger or more wonderful just because we commend ourselves. He that is commendeth of God. That's what we need. We need the commendation of God, right? We need the blessing of God. I hope you're getting this. And this message can go so many ways. But listen, I hope you can take it personally and understand these truths and apply them kind of in your own life and situation. What does he say in verse 12? We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Let me confess my sin to you. There was a time years ago where I began to feel some real jealousy in my heart and towards another pastor. I don't want to give too much of it away, but I felt some jealousy towards another pastor. Because they have a wonderful church, an exciting church. And some precious people that I love had ended up leaving our church and going and being a part of that church. And as a pastor, it always hurts, you know, when people move or people leave, especially when they just leave to go to another church or whatever. And that hurt. But you know what? There were some times where inwardly there was some feelings of jealousy. I was disappointed in my heart, you know, it was foolishly, really. Because you start comparing yourself and you see a church and boy, it's exciting and look at all those people and it's growing and blah, blah, you know, blah, blah, blah.
But inwardly, I had some feelings like that. One time, finally, at a conference, Now, to be honest, this person never would have known that I had those feelings. Never would have known that I was jealous. We didn't see each other a whole lot, to be honest, but sometimes we'd see each other. And finally, one day, I broke down in a conference, and God was just really convicting my heart about it. And it really was just my own sin, and I needed to make it right with me. But for whatever reason, I felt like I just needed to go and confess my sin to him. And I did. And I went during the end of that service, and I went to that man, and I said, "You don't even know this, you don't even know this, but in my heart, I've been wrong towards you. In my heart, I've been jealous. In my heart, I've not been right. And I've seen good things happening in your church, it's bothered me. You know, I've gone and so on. And I confess that to the Lord, and I'm glad to him. You know, and I'm glad I did. You know why? Because we are wrong when we are comparing ourselves with one another. We are wrong when we allow ourselves to be led by fleshly feelings that maybe make us jealous towards others, or make us angry towards others, or make us be unkind towards others. Listen, if God blesses them, I'm all for God blessing them. And I love them now, and we have a better relationship now than we ever did before. And I just want you to see that, listen, we all can deal with a sin in this area of our lives, where at times we can wrongly compare ourselves. You know what? Girls sometimes compare themselves with other girls. And you know what? Truthfully, biblically, it's wrong. You know what? Girls sometimes compare themselves when it comes to even areas of beauty. Well, I don't think I'm as beautiful as so-and-so. I'm amazed that sometimes I've heard teenage girls, you know what? They were jealous of some other girl because they thought she was prettier than she was. And then, you know what? Truth is, the other girl felt that girl was prettier than she was, and she was jealous. It's really just all silly sometimes. You know what? And these may be a silly example, but listen, there are times where we look at other people and we compare ourselves wrongly because we think, oh, maybe people like them better than they like me, or they are more talented than I am. Well, listen, God made us all different. God made us all special. God made you to look just the way you look. God gives all of us different talents and different abilities and different gifts. And it's never right for us to look and compare ourselves and, well, I can't do what so-and-so can do. That's fine. God didn't make you to do what so-and-so can do. God made you to do things that only you can do. God made them to do things that they can do. And never are we to compare ourselves. God's work is not about you and me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 8... Let me read this for you. If you want to turn there quickly, that's fine. But Mark chapter 8, I'm almost there. Mark chapter 8, verse 33 and 34, it says this. Mark chapter 8, verse 33 and 34. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, also he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself." Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's not about you. It's not about me. If we're going to be followers of Christ, it's not about, well, how big can I be? Well, how important can I be? What can people see me do? You know, you may even have a heart that you want to serve God. You have a heart that you want to be in ministry for Christ or do things for Christ. But listen, your desire for Christ better be about glorifying God and not about glorifying yourself. It better not be, well, I want to do something, or I hope to get to do something one day because I want people to see me. I want people to know how wonderful I am. I want people to know how talented I am. It better not be about you. It better be about Christ. That you just want to do that because you want to glorify Christ. You want to serve Christ. You want to please Christ. Remember what John the Baptist said? John Baptist Church, John the head of Baptist, John Baptist Church over here. He must increase, but I must decrease. Hey, so what if Jesus Baptist Church is really growing and flourishing and they're baptizing more people than we are, and wow, Jesus Baptist Church was really growing over there. He didn't look with an eye of envy or jealousy or anger or anything. He said, "That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm glad for that. He's the one that needs to increase. I must decrease. Do we sometimes in our life, do we try to take attention or glory for ourselves? Or are we rejoicing in the success of Christ's work, no matter who God is choosing to use? Do we seek our own glory, or do we seek a name for ourselves or an image for ourselves? Do we seek our glory, or do we seek Christ's glory? Which is it that we're after? And these aren't questions that can be answered easily. Sometimes we really have to search our heart and search our soul sometimes to know. Listen, is there sometimes feelings of jealousy within me that I shouldn't have? Is there feelings of envy? Is there feelings of comparison? Is there times where I wrongly compare myself? Is there times where I wrongly belittle myself or lift myself up when I shouldn't? Both are wrong to do. I shouldn't be putting myself down because of comparison or lifting myself up in pride because of comparison. Do we really just seek Christ's glory, or are we sometimes just concerned with vain things? We're concerned with our own image. We're concerned with our own reputation. We're concerned with our own glory. Notice what it said there in John chapter 3 again in verse 26. They came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, that he that was with thee beyond Jordan, whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. Everybody comes to him. Everything's going good for him. Everything's wonderful for him. And they didn't like it. But notice how John answered verse 27 and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So if God blesses that lady with a better job and a new home and a new purse, and I'm not going to be jealous. You know, if God, you know, you can apply it to any area of life you want. You really can. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. What did John's attitude say? Verse 28, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not Christ. You know, I'm just the one that was sent before him. I was just the one, remember? I was sent to point others to Christ. I was sent to point others to Jesus. It's not going to bother me if everybody's following him and people aren't listening to me like they used to listen to me, or I'm not getting the attention I used to get, or I'm not getting the glory that I used to get. It's all about him anyways. It's all about Christ. Verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Christ is the bridegroom, right? The church is described as the bride of Christ. He compares himself. I'm just a friend of the bridegroom. I'm not going to be jealous or upset because the bridegroom has a bride. I'm not going to be upset about that. I'm just a friend of the bride. I'm happy for the bridegroom. I'm happy for the groom. I'm happy that he got a bride. I'm happy for that in his life. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. You know what? If our life is all about ourselves and making ourselves feel good, or making ourselves look good, or making ourselves, you know, feel that we have everything that we deserve, we're in trouble. But when our joy is really going to come from, I want Christ to be glorified, and I always want his will to be done, and I want him to be magnified and not me, and I love every good thing that he can put on somebody else, and I would love it if blessings came to their home or to their family or to that lady or to that man or to that friend or that person or to that my brother or to my sister or whoever. I'll be glad for everything wonderful that God does for every other person, because I know it only comes from him, and I'll take my joy in that. He must increase, but I must decrease. Verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. He that cometh from above is above all. He that cometh from heaven is above all. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. A couple statements quickly, and we'll be done. Number one, John the Baptist had a proper philosophy. John the Baptist had a proper philosophy. Verse 27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. He had a proper philosophy. We can tend to give reasons or to make excuses when God is using someone else seemingly more than us. Or when God is blessing someone else seemingly more than ourselves, we can make excuses or give reasons for it or try to explain why. But John the Baptist's philosophy was, it can only be given him if it be given from heaven. It's God that's doing it. It's God that's doing it. We must accept that God does what he does for his own glory. God does what he does for his own glory. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verses 6 and 7. 1 Corinthians 4 verses 6 and 7. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure, transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up the one against the other. Be puffed up. The old puffed up with pride. Now that kind of attitude, yeah. Thinking ourselves better than others. And I deserve better than others. Boy, we're in trouble when we have that proud spirit. He says in verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? Why do you think you're so good? Why do you think you're all that? Right? Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Your good looks, your talents, your abilities, your charisma, your ability to influence others, your anything. Why are we to be proud thinking, well, I'm better than so-and-so? Everything you have is because God chose to give it to you. He's the one that's awesome. If there's anything good in your life, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of God in our life. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Anything that you have, it's just because you received it from God. And we're not to glory. There's no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. Everything good we have, it was given to us by God. And our glory should never be in ourselves. It should be in God who made us and God who created us. He wants to be praised and glorified. That everything you receive, it comes from him. Everything good about you, it was given you by him. John the Baptist had the right kind of philosophy. His philosophy was based on a high view of God. His philosophy was based on a high view of God. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 8 to 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 8 to 10. He says, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. This is Paul. Paul, who we think of as the great apostle. And notice his own words. For I am the least of the apostles. That I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. For I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was within me. Paul was saying about himself, listen, I'm less than the least of all saints. I'm an absolute nobody. I hated God. I persecuted the church of God. It is only by the grace of God I am what I am. Paul said, I don't stand here now as a preacher of the gospel and I've written all these letters that God told me to write. I've been around. I've got to preach. I've got to plant churches. I've got to see all kinds of wonderful things happen. But it's not because of me. It's just because of the grace of God that has found fit to use me in some way. That was Paul's philosophy. Paul didn't have I'm big, I'm bad, I'm better than you kind of attitude. He just thought of himself as a nobody. That the grace of God came into his life. We're not always as big and mighty as we think we are. Notice another story in the Bible quickly. What does the Bible say back in Numbers chapter 11? Look at it with me, Eric, please. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 26 to 29. Numbers chapter 11, verse 26 to 29. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Moses wasn't upset. He said, Oh, I wish there was more prophets of God. I wish there was more people filled with the Spirit of God. I wish there was more people being used to God. Moses wasn't over here, one man of God, upset because, well, look, there's other men of God now. No, he was glad there was other men of God. Glad there was others that were filled with the Holy Spirit of God that were prophesying. How do we react when someone kind of steps on our toes or gets into our territory, or maybe someone else seems to be noticeably better at something than we are? Or what if somebody seems to be accomplishing something more than we are? Or what if for a time maybe somebody seems to be getting more attention than we are? Do we get jealous? Do we get angry? Do we make excuses? What about if someone is perhaps just more gifted? What if someone has particular spiritual gifts that you or I don't have? Or what if someone just has a great Spirit-filled life and God's blessing? Do I accept them or resent them? Truth is, it can be so easy for us to have a sinful, wicked attitude, to compare ourselves, become jealous or envious. John had a proper philosophy. Second thought quickly, John had a proper attitude. John had a proper attitude. Go back to the book of John, chapter number 3. John chapter 3. And I said first that he had a proper philosophy. He had a proper philosophy. We see that in verse 27. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. He had proper philosophy. Secondly, he had a proper attitude. A proper attitude. Verse 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. Who does the bride belong to? The bride belongs to Christ. If we have an opportunity to influence people, or if you have a ministry of the Lord, or if you become the teacher of a Sunday school class, or somebody else maybe has a class that seems better than yours, or a ministry that seems like it's being more effective than yours, or whatever it may be. Listen, people are not mine and people are not yours. All those that are saved belong to Jesus Christ. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. John's attitude was, I'm just a friend of the bridegroom. I'm happy for him. I'm not in competition. I'm not in competition with others. I'm not in competition with Christ. I mean, I'm all for him, and I'm happy for him. And any opportunity God gives me, I'll be glad for it. I'll take my joy in that if his work is being fulfilled. We can take too much for ourselves sometimes. I'm just supposed to help the groom. I'm just supposed to help the groom. You know what? I got to be the best man one time in somebody's wedding. You know what? That day wasn't about me. That day wasn't about me. If I could maybe grab somebody's tuxedo and deliver it back to the rental store afterwards, I'm just there that day to help the groom, right? The day's not about me and so on. No, the day was about the bridegroom and the bride and so on. It was for them. It wasn't for me. That's John's attitude was. It's not about me. I'm just a servant. I'm just here to hear the bridegroom's voice, and what he tells me to do, I'll do it. I'll help him. I'll be there to help him. I'll take my joy in that. I'll take my joy in fulfilling what he wants. John just knew that he had a task to do, and he chose to rejoice in the successes and accomplishments and blessings of others. John had a humble attitude that said, I'm not the Lord, I'm just a servant of the Lord. I'm not the Messiah, I'm just a voice. I'm not the bridegroom, I'm just his friend. And my joy is going to come from running errands for him. My joy is going to come from just doing whatever he needs me to do. John had a proper attitude. And the last thought quickly is this, John had a proper spirit. Look at again John 3 and verse 30. John had a proper spirit. Verse 30 said, he must increase and I must decrease. You know what that means? More of him, less of me. He must increase, but I must decrease. Notice verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He's above all. He's way more important than me. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all. A selfless spirit, John had. A spirit that joyfully accepted God's plan. John understood that his own role was simply to lift up and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. His job was not to be concerned with lifting up himself among his peers. Being a part of Christ's work is never about us. It's never about us. It's never about you. It's never about me. It's all about him. It's all about him, and it should all be done for his glory. What we do should not be to exalt ourselves or lift up ourselves or look at me, look at how talented I am. Hey, everybody, I want some applause here. I want some attention here. I want some recognition here. No, it should be all about him and for his glory. John had the proper attitude. He had the proper philosophy. He had the proper spirit. He was not self-seeking. He was seeking the glory of the Lord. We could look at several other verses from Paul. We won't do that, but see how it was about the glory of God. It's not about ourselves. It's never about ourselves. It's about God and him being glorified. Let's not take too much credit. More than we deserve. Let's not put ourselves down too much when that's not necessary either. We're not wise to compare ourselves with others. Do you ever find yourself upset or angry towards others and maybe you don't even know the reason why? You really need to examine your heart in times like that. Where maybe, without it, you know, even being purposed, but sometimes we can compare ourselves. And maybe within us there becomes envy, or there becomes jealousy, or there becomes pride because we think we're better than others. Or we put ourselves down too much because we think they're better than us. None of those feelings are right. None of those are attitudes that we ought to have. When you do things, will you do it for the Lord? If you want to sing in the choir, will you do it for the Lord and for his glory? If you want to play the piano or play an instrument, will you do it for the Lord and for his glory? If you want to teach a Sunday school class or be an usher or do some work for God, would you do it not so that I want everybody to see me or know me or whatever? But will you do it for the Lord or do it for his glory? Let's not be unwise. Let's not compare sometimes wrongly. Let's not let those feelings come in that can be sinful feelings. Pride or jealousy or envy or wrong comparison or self-glory. Everything is not about us. It's about the Lord. And do what you do for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for your word. And I do pray that we'd even learn from the wise example of John the Baptist. He had a good philosophy. He had a good attitude. He had a good spirit. And the truth is, the Bible talks so much about it that God must know that sometimes we can struggle with bad attitudes. Instead of seeking the Lord's glory, we seek our own glory.
Instead of seeking more for him, we seek more for ourselves. Instead of being glad for good things that happen to others, we become selfish or jealous for ourselves, or we become critical of others. God, in any area of our life where sometimes we wrongly compare ourselves, and we allow ourselves then to have wrong attitudes, Father, forgive us of that. Reveal that to us. Show that to us if there are areas of life where we've maybe been wrong in our attitude, wrong in our spirit. And maybe we've ended up even becoming wrong and unkind in our words or actions towards others. Help us to examine that in our own life and forgive us, Lord, of areas where we've maybe been wrong. Help us to make it right with you, God. Or if we have been unkind towards others, help us to make it right with them. Lord, help us to seek your glory and not seek ourselves. Help us to seek that you would increase in our lives and that we would decrease. It'd be more about you and less about us. Help us, please, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.